For a few months now, people around Phoenix, Arizona have been able to hail taxis without a human driver. The service is through Waymo, Alphabet's self-driving car project.
Please make sure your seatbelt is fastened.
Yes, ma'am.
Press the help button to speak with a rider support agent.
Okay, wow. Oh my God, we're driving. Look at the front seat. Look at the front seat. There's nobody in this car but me. I'm the only person in this car. I'm sitting in the back seat. And the car is driving.
That was Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd last year, taking one of those first rides. We'll link to that piece at hereandnow.org. It was a major first step in the race to get autonomous cars onto America's roads. But recently, a headline from Bloomberg caught our eye. It reads, Waymo is 99% of the way to self-driving cars. The last 1% is the hardest. Gabriel Coppola covers the U.S. auto industry for Bloomberg and joins us from Detroit with more on that. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So you and your colleague, Mark Bergen, wrote this latest article on Waymo, and we're focusing on this company because, as you write, they are still ahead of everyone else in this effort. With that, how good is Waymo's technology right now?
Well, it's fair to say they're still the best in the industry. I mean, at this point, they are the only company that has managed to offer taxi rides with no human driver. And it really is a very big achievement.
At the same time, you write that 1%, is still a killer. What are the limitations?
Well, there's a term that people in the industry use a lot called edge cases. And really what that means is sort of those very rare occurrences, just freak things that could happen, or, you know, maybe not so freak. You know, there's a weird construction going on in a road, or there's a parked car and the computer can't tell if that person is parked and getting ready to leave or parked and the person's getting out of the car. There are some situations that you can't anticipate. And if the robot hasn't seen it before, it doesn't have the kind of human-like intelligence to figure it out. And so it still needs human help in that regard.
Right. You also write, I mean, something like weather, handling rain or sleet or snow. They've got to figure out all of those types of conditions as well. But once they get all of that figured out, there's also a lot of questions about manufacturing capacity. What have you learned?
Yeah. You know, Waymo took over. They leased a plant here in Detroit in a neighborhood called Hamtramck a few years ago. And this was kind of hailed by the CEO at the time of, this is the world's, you know, first, you know, autonomous vehicle manufacturing plant. We're going to, you know, be cranking out, you know, robo-taxis and things like that. But when I spoke to some of the folks that have actually worked inside the plant and worked there, they described a situation which was much more kind of painstaking and difficult. But basically what they're doing is they're taking cars from, for example, Jaguar Land Rover, which makes the electric I-Pace SUV that Waymo is now deploying in San Francisco. And the engineers come in, they have to kind of hook up all the special sensors, the kind of eyes and ears and brain of the car, hook it all together. And the problem is when you take a car apart like that, even partially, and you put it back together, you know, you might misplace a wire and then the car doesn't work. And then so, you know, okay, let me call up an engineer in London over there. You know, it's a problem that engineers have to figure out. And it takes days. That's very different from what you imagine with, like, sort of, you know, high volume manufacturing where there's an assembly line and cars are just being cranked out. This is kind of slow and it's manual and it's people taking things apart and putting them back together.
Right. With that, though, right, they're up against traditional auto companies. They're still ahead of all of them, but Waymo is a tech industry. Its roots are in the tech industry. Who are they up against in the automotive industry in this race to get these driverless cars on America's roadways?
Yeah, well, there's been some consolidation, I would say, because this is such an expensive project, right? A lot of companies just kind of throw in the towel. You know, Uber threw in the towel recently and sold its business, said we don't want to deal with this anymore. But you've still got Cruise, which is controlled by General Motors, GM. You've got Argo, controlled by Ford. There's a company called Aurora, which is actually founded by some top engineers from Google itself and Tesla that are still, you know, pursuing this. And one of the things I found so interesting in the story was there's this big debate, you know, between Silicon Valley. To them, it's a software problem. There's a certain arrogance about it. They think they can solve any problem in the world. We just throw a lot of software engineers at it. And they don't always at least for folks in Detroit, they feel like they don't always appreciate how complex manufacturing is. So there's kind of a debate, I think. I sense there's a debate between how important that manufacturing stuff really is. You know, what from my reporting, it sounded like it was a serious headache. Waymo will dispute that and say it's not. But, you know, I've talked to people who say, no, it, you know, it really is an issue.
What are some of the regulatory environment challenges for a company like this? Even if they built a perfect autonomous vehicle, can they just put it on the road whenever they want to?
Oh, great question. As of yet, the government, the federal government does not have a standard that says this is what you have to prove you can do to say an autonomous vehicle is safe. It's really state by state. Some states are more lax than others. But there are, you know, autonomous vehicles being tested all over the country. A lot of these companies flock to states that have less regulation, less disclosure requirements, things like that. So while everybody is started out in California, now you see people working in Arizona and Florida, which have a more, I guess, lax or more accommodating regulatory environment.
Another challenge with Waymo is also internal strife. There have been some changes in leadership.
Yes. I think you're referring to earlier this year, the CEO, John Krafcik, he actually was an auto executive who was kind of brought into Waymo to kind of help grow the business side. He left in the spring, and a lot of other pretty high-level executives left as well. And that definitely did raise a lot of eyebrows about, you know, what's going on here? Why is there this big exodus of talent? And as far as I could tell, you know, Mark and I from our reporting, it's not that people don't still believe in the mission, but they feel that it's taking a lot longer than they expected. And I think that's probably true for a lot of the self-driving companies. If you look at sort of the peak hype that we were seeing in 2016, 17, this was right around the corner. Now people realize that this is going to take much longer to really achieve this.
That's Gabrielle Coppola, reporter for Bloomberg, talking with us about the challenges of bringing driverless cars to America's roadways. And it will be a while. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And one more note, Waymo announced earlier this month that they're going to start offering autonomous taxis in San Francisco, but this time with a human driver in front for backup.